you. Boy, what a show we have for you tonight.
We have a pretty great show.
What an important show. I mean, we got to do the most important thing at the top of it. I don't know if it's like, but it's got to be dealt with immediately. We had a show. The last time we had a show, the feedback was, it was voluminous.
Really? I wasn't here for that show, so I'm not caught up. Talk to me as if I'm a baby. I don't know.
There was a problem unique to just societal groupings. Like, it's a problem that, you know, how do you solve it? We've been through this before. Harmontown is supposed to be a tribe of misfits. We're going to colonize the moon. And so what do you do about your Adam Goldbergs? You know, are they mascots because they're the misfits of misfits? Or are they somehow an opportunity for us to prove that we too can rule the earth by, you know, we just crucify them and go like, yeah, no, we have lines.
Oh, do I get to vote? Or?
I'm voting against that. I think, you know, I believe in open systems. I don't think that key and tumbler societies are going to ever evolve. I think you have to have one code and you have to be able to follow it no matter what. And our code is no one gets bullied. Everyone fits in. So then last show, like just from Twitter to Reddit and everywhere in between, a lot of feedback about this guy's laugh. Now we're gonna bring him up and put a face on this problem because I think
in a shaming way.
Not in a shaming way at all. The opposite. I want to humanize this guy because I most of all just feel bad for him. I also then second to that, I feel bad for 30,000 people that. That were like unprecedentedly distracted by this guy's laugh.
Well, it's a tough one because you want people to laugh, but then they laugh too much and you're like, all right, calm down.
Or if their laugh just hits that chimpanzee distress call frequency, so it makes people go like, I'm glad he's having a good time, but now I feel like a spotted leopard's hunting me. I don't know. His laugh is like a crying baby on an airplane for some people. It's the difficult thing with a society, of course, this is the most difficult of all. What are we going to outlaw this guy's mirth? Tell him, have less fun?
Yeah, that moment when you're least self-conscious and full of joy.
Yeah.
Take it down a notch.
Yeah. Then everything we say about the government up here, everything, every time a cop stabs a guy. Cops stab people?
No, they just shoot them.
I don't read the news. Well, they stab them with those knife, flying knives that come out of the knife dispensers. Okay.
Wait, you're thinking of Scorpion from Mortal Kombat.
Get over here!
Yeah.
Actually, stay there! What was that? Scorpion? Well, he distracted me with the Mortal Kombat movie.
No, but it's interesting. You're saying that this is the first. This is where the line is. And we can't, you know, if we introduce this law, then everything falls apart.
Yes,
so,
yes.
Yeah.
All the things that we make fun of governments and corporations for doing when they're like, oh, hey, everybody, make up a new flavor of Mountain Dew. Just
exactly.
Have fun on, you know, and fence in your humanity. And you're not allowed to do this. And you're not allowed to do that. Then it all breaks down. We are judged tonight as a tribe by how we treat Laughing Man. The eyes of God are on us. And I don't know. I'm excited about it because I don't know what the answer is.
No.
Except that, you know, the first step is always communication. Always like you know, I assume he's willing to come up because he sounds like he's having a wonderful time. It's Doug, right? Okay. Doug is here. We put him in the front row away from the microphones tonight. Doug, have a seat.
Hello. I will say this.
Hello, everybody.
Right off the bat, I'll tell you what pisses me off, Doug.
What?
You come to Meltdown every week, and that's never been a fucking problem at Meltdown. Are we not funny enough for you?
It's just never been commented on at Meltdown.
Oh, okay. But we don't record Meltdown, so there isn't, like, Twitter, you know.
It was, like, I remember a night when I could hear it, and I was like, my thing is, like, it's not that I don't like it. My thing is it makes me feel like a liar. It sounds like my uncle's at the show, and it's like the Cream City Comedy Competition, and he's like, ah! Yeah! Drive-thrus are hard for the consumer. Who's voting? Who's voting? And I makes me wonder how funny I really am, and you know, it's because it sounds like above and beyond. But last week I wasn't really that conscious of it. But then it must have been a microphone thing. It's like the sound mix thing or something.
Yeah.
I've never gotten so many tweets about one topic. Like, and we talk about race here.
And you've said a lot of controversial crazy shit.
I called the Irish dirty little potato people. I got 7 tweets from Irish people going, "You're right. We don't care."
Yeah.
But this guy is human Belfast.
Human Belfast.
The time of troubles are upon us again.
He's the potato famine of Harmontown.
We need a peace wall built around him so that the Protestant laugh listeners can get along with the Catholic ones. So anyway, all right, Doug. I think you've been quiet through all this. Was it different? Was it different last week or last show?
I was a little high last week. But I
oh no.
I'll pull the microphone away when I laugh.
I'm sorry, Doug.
It's all right.
Shouldn't we get like a shouldn't we somebody tell him like a really funny joke so we can measure the
He's literally hiding the microphone with his palm right now.
Because some people might not know what we're talking about. If we were a sophisticated, like, fancy broadcast show, we'd play a clip from last episode where you just hear me going like Jeff at one point, I said, I was talking about 9/11 conspiracies and Back to the Future regarding the Twin Pines parking lot. And Jeff said, "Pine 11."
Here, put it to your mouth. See?
I love a good pun.
All right.
What got you was Pine 11. Pine 11. That's the 9/11 of jokes.
I'm also a huge Back to the Future fan, so... And I always knew, consciously, watching that... Yeah, it's Lone Pine Mall because he hit the pine back then.
Right. And some guy's going like, "Whoa, what about, why is there only one tower now?"
It's blowing my mind.
Which is truly not to get too grim, but that's not even a significant event in the 9/11 timeline, the time there was one tower. Like, I know it happened for a couple minutes on CNN, but like, we don't want to dwell on that. That's not like, "Oh, the one tower time." Like, they fucking came down.
Oh my God, we had so much more hope back then, remember?
Oh, just half as much.
When just, yeah.
People were outside chanting, "You,
Yeah. "You,
It was like Electric Company, and then the other half for that loved the people in the other tower going, "Say! You, Say! You, say! You, say!" Like, remember the Electric Company?
Snake.
Snake. See, that's funnier than the Pine 11. Right. Well, okay, so I mean, you know, I think that I'm already encouraged by the conversation. You were high. Maybe I think we can't ask you to stop having fun. And I certainly believe marijuana should be legal, but maybe for you it shouldn't be allowed before the show.
This is how governments start.
Okay, maybe, all right.
Maybe for you, like, you can't have passive aggressive law. Law is law.
It starts with don't eviscerate a prostitute on a foggy cobblestone street.
Yeah.
Just to get rid of Jack the Ripper.
Yeah.
Next thing you know,
Kraft is running the world.
The Thames is chocolate. Wait, that sounds great.
Next time I get an inkling, I won't before coming to Harmontown. How about that?
Would you get an inkling to when you want to get high, you mean?
Yeah, to ease the back pain.
Oh, really? Is that what it is?
Yeah, I have a little natural pain.
Because of back pain? Oh, okay. Okay.
It's also, I mean, it's also great. Like, it also feels amazing. But
yeah. So, Doug, were you aware of this controversy before tonight? Before.
like, Batman is on the toilet right now. Keeps getting halfway up. Goddamn! Is there a? I know that laugh. But I'm on the toilet, and I'm Batman. It's not Bruce Wayne on the toilet, it's Batman.
Yeah, he's Batman. In a cowl. He's that's got his outfit.
That's the weird thing about that's the thing they never explore in the movies is that Bruce Wayne has a really, he extends his dichotomous, like, weird schism in his personality to the shits he takes. Like, he's like, I'm going to take a Batman shit.
Yeah.
The one that flushes my bowels of the scum and crime that have...
I wish I had that option. Like, every now and then I feel like I want to take a Batman shit, but I can't do it.
Yeah.
So it's like...
You just pinch out a little Alfred.
Yeah.
Pinch out a little Alfred.
Yeah. I do like Robin's five egg. Alfreds in a row rather than one Batman.
Technically speaking, sir, there is a certain amount of pebbles in your lower colon. They could be dispensed of for optimum comfort. However, it could be put off to a later time. And then a Batman shit's like, get it out.
Yeah.
My parents dead. I'm gonna take the shit out of this shit. All right. Well, okay. So, Doug, I guess we got a human face. Let's monitor things. Let's see how it goes. We love you and we're in your corner. I applaud everyone speaking out. I don't know if you needed to be so mean about some of your ways you're putting it.
What was some of the stuff they said, Dan?
You don't have to. You know, it's the internet. We're starting to realize not everything that you don't like makes you want to kill yourself. You don't have to use that language every time. There's real stuff in the world that should make you want to kill yourself. Starting with poverty. You can just dislike someone's laugh. It doesn't make you want to kill yourself.
Internet's really a place of subtle opinions. It's either you love something and want to marry it, or you want to kill it with fire. That's the internet. Extreme opinions are the only things that make it to the internet.
Well, all right. Well, let's thank Doug
thank
and
you,
sit
Doug.
Him back down.
Thank you, guys.
It's the human face that really, that solves half the problem.
I think
you just look at him and go, he looks like a fine young gentleman.
It's also tough because everything we say he laughs at, and it's hard to dislike that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I think we figured it out. We move him away from the microphones and live your life, Doug.
Yeah. I was actually going to say that, well, in exchange for that, we told him, there's no way, why am I sharing this? Now I have to share it just because it's funny. That I think Dustin told him, like, look, if you, you know, we'll give you, we'll always have that seat away from the microphones available, but it's a good seat, so now tonight everyone's going to be like, Mika, Mika! It's going to, yeah. But don't do that. Be cool. There's shame involved, too. Don't forget that. I do most of the show like this. All right, so we got. You know, normally I would babble about things I've seen. I saw. All right, well, I share my Aaron quote of the week.
Yes.
Do you have a music cue for this segment called Aaron? My wife Aaron's funniest line of the week. Yeah.
That's. Perfect number of beats. About six.
I want to make sure I get it right. I wrote it down. We were watching the movie. The movie is called A Most Violent Year. And about halfway through it, when Joseph Campbell says a hero should meet with his goddess, Aaron met with one of her own that I didn't realize she was meeting with when she exasperatingly said from the bed next to me, oh, God, just give them their Oscars so they can stop. It's a movie about a guy who does not want to get involved with the movie that he's in. And he succeeds for the whole movie.
You didn't like the movie?
I actually did enjoy it quite a bit. But it's kind of remarkable how, like, the movie... There's a lot of good movies right now. Have I passed my curmudgeon phase and am now just a wild-eyed babe in the woods? Am I now in that weird, creepy uncle, like, I love Pokemon. I feel like I mean, Birdman was really enjoyable.
Yeah, you're gonna become
I thought for a while that I do enjoy the kind of movie that might get, you know, might get awards or have some degree of cultural efficacy, that you were down to Transformers or you had to just watch something in French, and you know, I don't know, I've seen some movies. I just saw that Alan Turing movie, Imitation Thing. Have you guys seen that? Man, it's gonna. I don't understand why aren't gay people more angry? I didn't know they invented computers and that we killed them for it. I use computers. I don't understand. They're gay people. They never did anything. They literally are a problem that solves itself.
Jesus Christ.
I'm serious. To the extent that you're scared of them, like, doing anything, you don't have to be. Yeah. There's always another gay person. Like, they're not trying to do anything.
I like the idea of someone who's homophobic, but also, like, logical about it. Like, they're a problem, but they'll solve themselves, so.
If you put yourself in the shoes of someone who's, like, terrified, like, what are you, and then we get back to that conversation. Well, obviously, we know what they're terrified of. They're terrified that they themselves are gay, so they get, like, I gotta make a law against how gay I am.
But it's not just that. I think it is just people who are fully straight, not afraid of being gay, who hate gay people.
Are we sure about that? Because there are so many things to hate. Like, are we sure that all straight homophobia is not ultimately rooted in like a fear of, like, man, if this was legal, I would suck every dick in this room. I wouldn't know who I am. I gotta get to work in the morning. This has to stay forbidden.
If it's legalized, I'm gonna suck so much dick. So I have to fight it.
Well, also, like, the gay marriage thing, you can fill it, because why would you hate that? What if you already hated gay people, then you hated them for what? Wearing the police hats and dancing and, like, being, like, promiscuous, like, archetypes of, like oh, nothing sacred, honey child, I'm gay, woo, I want to dance. Why, for that mindset, wouldn't them wanting to get married and to have George Takei stroll down the street with his husband holding hands with Froyo, why wouldn't that make you go, oh, okay, fine. The only reason is because you're thinking, why did I marry a woman then? I didn't know I could have it all.
But it's, I think
the
it's
the thing
also
that got, like, me elected, and the thing I love to do in bathrooms.
It doesn't count as long as it's in a public bathroom. God can't see through stall doors. I think then, because then they're like, oh, then it's harder to tell which ones they are, you know?
But like, what are they going to do? Save us from overpopulation? What's the worst thing they're going to do?
Well, but it's true. I mean, if you look at, like, religion and stuff, a lot of religions are against that. So it's not just people who are gay and scared of it. It's also people who are scared of something that is different from them, or that they see as being different from
them. Those religions come from a time when if you weren't having a baby every 9 months, you were treasonous. Because our species was at war with the weather.
Yeah.
Like, penguins were eyeing us up for the throne.
Right.
Well, we're both being eaten by predators. Who's to say you're not the penguins? Yeah. And we're like, keep fucking! Hurry up! Get more kids in the field! They gotta pick corn! And then you walk in on your friend Steve and your friend Neil, and you're like, guys, come on, knock it off. We're trying something.
We're going for something.
Maybe, yeah. I mean, so maybe there was, like, I don't want to use the word justification. That's the terrible word, those people thought stars could talk. They believed that logs were good luck on Thursday if you painted them black, and they had reasons to believe that stuff because they didn't have telescopes. I don't know. But once you get a telescope, you look through it at your gay friend and you go, it just looks like a very up close gay person to me. There's Saturn, there's Steve, and let's.
No, it's true. I mean, religion is from a time when before we had. We get a new iPhone every year, and we can't get someone to take another pass at the Quran. Like, you can't.
There should be some firmware.
There should be some religion firmware. Just an update that you have to get, and then it's like, It was a different time. Women can own the same amount of property. It's fine. We were wrong then.
I think we've whipped a cauldron into a froth that our guest is going to be the most at home in. Let's bring up David Cross. There was some extended applause there. I think your legacy is palpable in this room.
Can you give it another minute?
Of you was clapping too hard. And...
I know there's one guy in the front that makes looping impossible. It's like there's always like this seam. We started touching on this the unsolvable but always fun subject of like.
Of a most violent year, sucking. I know. I saw it. I did not care for it for so many reasons.
I thought he sounded a little too much like Andy Garcia.
I don't care about that. I just thought, it was everything about it was halfway. The story was halfway. The resolution was halfway. The acting was halfway. Well, that was, it was like, well, halfway to good, but it was like what your wife was saying. It's like they all think they're going to get an Oscar. You can tell.
Right.
They're all that's in the back of their heads.
I like that you're saying everything is halfway, but the name is the most extreme name possible. A most violent year.
I know. We kept thinking because in the beginning there's like a gas truck gets hijacked, and then Aaron and I were saying. Oh, is this like the cold open? And as the truck drives away, you pan over to a calendar, and it says January 1st. Is the whole movie just like?
I didn't care for that movie. And
have you seen some stuff you do care for? What did you think of Birdman?
I enjoyed watching it, and I liked the first two of the six endings. I preferred the first two. Then endings 3, 4, 5, and 6, they lost me. But
I will say, like, there's some movies I get to a point around, if I can get to 3/4 through, I've already written the mental blog entry of, like, why this is the best movie ever. And if the last 20 minutes can take a fucking nosedive, and I'll kind of just push it under the rug.
Well, it was really enjoyable to watch. The acting was great. I'll tell you where I really hit a roadblock, and it was a big one because I really was enjoying it up until this moment. But the scene with the theater reviewer, the dialogue was written. It felt to me like the dialogue that she, her review, and then the thing that he says back to her, and then her actual review later, all sounded like somebody who's never read a review. Because that's not how reviewers talk. That's how when you parody, or if you're like a sophomore in college, that's what you think a reviewer. And it's just, it was bogus.
That's a good point. And like the Emma Stone monologue, when she's yelling at him for giving a shit about something that's all out of ego, and he pretends he's above Twitter, but he's doing this ridiculous thing. I was like, I thought that monologue was really great. It was a well-written, like, teenage daughter monologue yelling
at her.
There's
a lot of great stuff in there. I just had a, but that was... The one dialogue-wise, the one scene.
Yeah,
that's not how they talk.
If they were as good at writing, if that reviewer could have easily just been super, like they could have written up to her, and had her be a normal, a human with her own value system as the hero of her own story with lots of thoughtful things to say, and it would have been just as good. You're right. Yep. I didn't even think about that. There is a way to hate things. Thank you. No.
Did you guys see The Hobbit?
I did not. Yeah, I did not.
I saw the second movie, and I was like...
The second of three?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was one book, by the way. I don't know if you guys know. It was one book. You can't make three movies out of one book.
It's so baffling. Like, I love the Lord of the Rings movies so much, so each one of these I watch... I said this on Twitter, but to me, like, Lord of the Rings was like making love with the love of your life, and Hobbit is like jacking off on a sex doll you found in the trash. It's still... still a fine way to spend your time. You just don't want your wife to be around for one of them, you know?
Wait, are you jerking off in the exact place where you found the sex doll, or bring it back?
No, it's still in the trash.
Oh, okay.
So to onlookers, you're just jacking off into the trash, and you're like, no, there's a sex doll in
there. Right. A little bit of a thrill to it.
Yeah. There's an excitement to it. There's a weird part where there's like... You know there's like 15 new dwarves in it?
I haven't seen any of those things. I don't. Not like out of anger or obstinance. I just, those things are so silly and to me.
Even the original Lord of the Rings?
I didn't see him, no.
Okay.
Wait, gosh.
I didn't see it.
You're like a unicorn. Ironically.
No judgment. I just know. I know myself enough to know I'm not going to like it.
Yeah.
So,
that's a good time to bring up that you've now just finally have launched a career as a director. You just made that movie Hits, which I haven't seen and frankly didn't know existed, which looks from the trailer to be like everything you would want when you hear that David Cross is directing.
Well, after the last 10 minutes of what I've just said, it better be the most amazing fucking perfect. It has to be perfect.
But it looks great, and more importantly, I think the reason why I thought you might want to come on here is because I'm sure you're already at your Kickstarter goal because you're only asking for it. Well, the Kickstarter pitch I saw was that you made this movie. It's good. The distributors involved had this plan to do like New York and LA and then throw it onto iTunes and come up May.
Yep. It was the same thing for
you know, whether you're just going, come on, let's do the 20 city thing, and you looked into it and it costs like a nominal amount.
Nobody was interested in pursuing that. And I'm not knocking the people involved, but the, you know, distributors are doing a job. They don't care about the movie per se. They want to get the best deal they can, or at least the sales agents who you hire to represent you to make the deal with distributors, which I found out later. I'm not well versed by choice in the business of aspect of things. I just don't care to. I should care to know. I'm sure my wife would be happier about that, but I don't want to think about those things, and so the offers were the absolute standard thing, you know, like you were saying, it's New York and LA, and then pick four cities out of the 10 biggest cities, mm-hmm. and they go there, you know, one college town, you know. Gotta get it in Ann Arbor, man. You know, and then that was it. And then, as you said, and that was really kind of depressing. And then the producers were the ones who said, "Let's figure out a way to get this movie in theaters that it would never play in." And mm-hmm. And so I credit them. They're the ones who came up with the idea, and they went to BitTorrent, and then we had the idea to do the Kickstarter, which just allows us to get the movie. We're already at trigger, we've got 35 cities, towns, places. Wow. I've never even heard of St. Thompsonville in Vermont, and I don't know, places it would never play, like Daytona?
What? Just in the middle of the racetrack?
Yep, just a guy with a tablet.
It's the one guy who's just not into racing in Daytona, and he lives in the middle.
He's running to the drivers so they can see it.
He's got it on his iPhone.
Yeah. When Bugs Bunny had that hole that they built a construction site around.
Yes. Yeah, and then in the future, he was the opposite. He was the only guy.
Yeah.
So is it like these theaters sort of signed up to be like, hey, we wanted to play in our theater. So if this Kickstarter thing goes, then we would like to play.
Yeah, because it's pay what you want. So in order to do that, we need at least enough money to get into the theater. It doesn't cost a whole lot, but it does cost something. You have to rent the theater, pay for the staff, make sure the film can play in their system, and you know, a small modicum of marketing and stuff, get some ads out. And that would allow us to go to, 22, I think we figured it would allow us to get to. And now we're at all these theaters have approached us, and it's cool. It's never been done before.
Yeah, this is like, I've never heard it. And BitTorrent is the one who's distributing it online, you said, right?
This is the first movie that BitTorrent is putting out there.
Officially.
Officially, yeah.
After years in the business,
yeah. They've before this.
How did they ever make any money?
Before this, they've put out every movie ever made.
Yes,
unofficially. But that's such a cool. Like, how did the BitTorrent thing happen? Like,
that was the producers. They're the ones who went out. We were all a little. The movie screened well at Sundance, and I don't think anybody had this, illusion that we were going to somehow become this, amazing, one of those bidding war things where Harvey Weinstein is, in between champagne shots and piles of blow is like, I want this movie, Skyping from his yacht on top of a mountain. And,
yacht's on the mountain.
What?
The yacht's on the mountain.
Yeah, he's very wealthy.
Yeah, it's his mountain. Also.
It's something his dad said he couldn't do. It's the one thing.
Hey, man, that's a good engine. Trying to do shit your dad says you can't do.
You were within spitting distance of your goal when I looked several days ago, but more money is probably better than less if you're interested.
Well, the more money we get, the more theaters we can go to.
Right, right. So go to the Kickstarter if you're interested. You can find it really easily. And, first give to Leukemia if you've got, money.
No. See, that's short-sighted thinking. All right?
Listen, his movie's coming out once. Leukemia's gonna be there.
Leukemia I'll keep is the slogan for the movie.
Don't worry.
$100 to the Leukemia Foundation.
Ain't doing shit.
I mean, that's nothing.
No.
Nothing.
No.
And $100 to us, you're gonna make some loser with leukemia laugh for 2 hours, you know? I mean, give him a little escape.
Two of the last hours of his life, he'll laugh.
It's 2015, so now we have to follow that with a paragraph of, we're not saying it's funny to have leukemia. We're saying it's so unfunny to have it that it's funny and the blah, 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 blah. I understand that the money that goes to leukemia, a lot of times what happens because it's such an intense diagnosis to give that a lot of times they'll just give the person $100 along with the
hey, just good news and bad news.
Yeah, so that is a furnace that you're shoveling your money into. It needs to be shoveled in, but you could light a little dollar bill on fire for David Cross and it'll go a lot longer.
We made a point that was like, hey, give to his movie more than give to leukemia, and it made sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's the great thing about this podcast is if you pay attention, you might learn something.
Movie's called Hits. It's called Hits, right?
It's called Hits, yes.
So is there ever going to be a rule about... So you got your Hebdo deaths with the Namor of the Muhammad thing.
This is a fuck of a segue.
Yeah. And so this isn't the first time it's happened, and it's like this thing keeps coming up where it's like, okay, so some people get really upset about the fact that, for instance, okay, so these guys are a cartoon made them hurt people, and that obviously makes them the bad guy, but then why CNN? Well, you're doing the story, and then you hold up the cartoon. Is it blurred out? And then there's other people, and because I don't want to jump on that bandwagon and go, well, but wait a minute, you're watching CNN. What are you, a big fan of, like, overriding all societal, like, taboo? Because otherwise there would just be, you know what a corporation would put on TV to make you keep watching? It would just be a big dick with toothpaste coming out of it. Like, they wouldn't, if you didn't give a fuck, they wouldn't give a fuck. There would just be Twinkies and fucking tits on the TV, and they would...
Go back to the dick with toothpaste coming out.
What I backed off of that because that's a pitch that I'm trying to sell. Okay.
Well, what kind of toothpaste did you guys see? Did you guys see Stripe, red and white? Did you guys see sparkly, bubblegum, like kid toothpaste?
Red and white stripes would be gross.
Right, that's crazy.
I'm saying, I don't want to see a red stripe coming out of my dick. And...
But you want to see other kind of toothpaste coming out of your dick?
Whoa. If I came and it didn't hurt and it was blue with crystals in it, I would be like, whoa, what the fuck? But if there was a red stripe in it, I'd be like, fuck! Ah, 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 ah. There's a difference.
You don't think the crystals are going to hurt the inside of your urethra? So naive.
I just said it didn't hurt. That's why I prefaced it with not hurting.
He did say that. I would think you're more of a Tom's guy. Given your druthers.
I don't even come. But the head of my dick is one of those crystals. You just rub it on your skin, and it... I switched to deodorant.
But finish that sentence.
It didn't make sense because I switched to deodorant and it doesn't make sense.
Finish the sentence.
I see.
The deodorant.
Yeah, that's so you don't get Alzheimer's. So when you masturbate, you don't get Alzheimer's.
Right.
Or you do. No, it is the crystal. Oh, no, the crystal. All right. The crystal deodorant is because people are afraid somebody read something somewhere 15 years ago, and they're like, oh shit, this has aluminum in it. That's going to give us Alzheimer's. So give me that rock. Give me the rock that the woman who calls herself a good witch sold me on Venice Beach for $60.
There's a witchcraft store. There was a witchcraft store in my neighborhood where they would sell like bullshit like that, and it just shut down, and now it's a shoe store. And I was like kind of happy and sad at the same time. Because it's like kind of fuck that woman, but also I could buy shoes anywhere.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing about those folks. I don't think they're...
You don't think they're hucksters?
No, I don't. I don't think a lot of... The people that I think about when I think of, you know, like those women or guys on Venice Beach or in Woodstock or, you know, San Francisco, wherever the fuck they are. And, I don't think they're trying to rip you off. I really don't. I think they're naive and dumb, sort of, because they believe those things. But but now I'm getting close to describing people in my life that I love, so I can't. I have to step it back a notch.
put a pin in my so. You're holding up a picture of Muhammad on the news. And they're blurring it out.
This got really derailed by the toothpaste out of the dick thing, huh?
So now next to that, somebody tweeted me this story, which I didn't know was a thing. If you live in New York and you go back and forth between New York and Israel, so I don't know how long this has been a thing, but someone tweeted me an article about how it's a thing.
The Haredi?
Yes.
Can I put a quick plug for a website? Seriously, I'm not joking. Where they have, there's a website called failedmessiah.com, and I am one of the very few people who says that we should make more fun of Jews. And I not Reform Jews, they're boring, but I'm talking about Orthodox Jews. They're just awful, terrible, backwards people that they really are. Sexist, and there's a lot of... they're terrible, and they're always linked to those articles.
Right.
I think
the theme that we constantly see happening.
Wait, what is the article about? Please
tell the article me. Is that, well, the article that I read was an editorial by somebody that was just fed up and just going like, enough already. Can we make this fucking illegal? You cannot obstruct a goddamn.
Yeah, tell them what
is it?
Is.
Yeah, I don't understand.
I'm sorry. Okay, yeah. So if I'm explaining this correctly, there's a, you know, as you get into the more Orthodox forms of Judaism. There's depending on what sect. I don't know if I'm using the right language, but there's some dudes.
It's the Hasidim, the Haredi. There's different factions of all. If you're ultra Orthodox, they're all kinds of ultra Orthodox.
And they can't. They get on the plane and they go, oh, I can't sit next to a woman.
But not I can't. I won't.
Right, right. And so, some, you know, it's a, you read the comment section, it's like on fire, and it's like, it all kind of comes down to me. We're like, well, how is this guy an 18-year-old traveler? And like, what does, is this really the first time that he's, you know, is he actually being brave? This person who's going like, oh shit, I'm being pressured by this secular machine to like do this thing. No one warned me about this. I think it's when I read the article, I was like, this stinks of airlines need to nut up. Like corporations that we give all this power
to. Stop letting women on your plane.
Well, put a fucking sign up explaining to anyone flying from New York to Israel or vice versa that there is a very likely chance you will be sitting next to half the population.
50% chance.
They're also 0.001% of the population who still believes in this archaic thing, and we accept it. And one of the issues, and I didn't read this particular editorial, but I know one of the issues is that it was Delta Airlines. They don't want to lose their business because it is a lot.
That's exactly what I'm saying. It always ends up being money. It's never this difficult West Wing thing where it's like, well, what's the right thing to do?
It's money.
Fuck you. Follow the money. And somebody's being greedy by not explaining to these people.
It's fucking awful what they do, what they let them get away with. And eventually people are pressured, and it's a major flight, New York to Israel. You know, it's
a longie.
But I mean, it's like if you got to get there, I assume you have to get there for a reason. You're not like, well, I got a couple days to go. You know, so eventually people are like, fine, I'll give them my fucking seat. You know.
I put those side by side for one because I don't want anybody to perceive me talking about we got to figure this out as having to do with any particular religion. I think that all of religion in its most kind of concentrated forms, the word archaic could be used like because it's like, let's face it, these are being held over from times before airplanes and things, and so they're rubbing up against modern, completely secularized society. It's like, what are the rules? Because we're all wearing pants, and if you get on a plane without pants and you say it's my religion, they're gonna say I don't give a shit. And so if I want people to fess up that it's not really about freedom of religion if a airline is kowtowing to...
Yeah, fuck that. Anyway,
because if it was, I would apply. I would be like, well, okay, let's try really hard to figure out how nobody ever has their bubble bursts. Let's try and see if we can do it, make it happen. But we'll do it in tiers so that for instance, some poor woman who didn't buy a ticket to this fucking ride, or she bought a ticket to the plane, but not this goddamn global roller coaster, gets on a plane, has a guy in an Indiana Jones hat, get on the plane, look at her, stifle vomit, go to the flight attendant, then double back, fall back into the... I mean, what do these people do when they're sealed in this tube? There's women everywhere.
Yeah.
But then start explaining that they can't do this and they can't do that, and everyone on the plane is like, what the fuck? I'm, like you said, I'm on a goddamn deadline. I got a whale at this wall. Or actually, that's the one thing I don't have to do, right? The wall wails for you? Is that...
I don't know.
I only know it by name. I assume
the wailing wall?
Yeah.
I know you go and you daven and you pray, and then you put prayer slips into the cracks in the wall. And then at night, between midnight and 12:05 a.m., God tiptoes in. they seal it up. And God tiptoes in. And he and Muhammad and Jesus go to the Dome of the Rock, right? Where they all had, there were the three major world religions have claim to that, the Dome of the Rock. And then they, on the Temple Mount, and then they each go in there, and it's all, science has figured out that... They've reduced it to the actual grain of sand that each one can lay claim to. And then they all go, and they, it was between 12 and 12:05, they lick the grain of sand.
They lick it?
They lick it. And then they wink to each other. Give a little pat on the backside, and then they go their separate ways.
And they go, they're like, what a racket, huh?
True story.
I wanna start a religion where if you're a woman on the plane, you have to sit next to an Orthodox Jew. And then let's see what happens.
I mean, there's a, you know, there's the thing of what you wanted to scream about. We'll start your own airline, but it's like, what is that, a mandate? We all got to be like fucking.
They have one. It's called El Al. Get on fucking El Al.
Is that So
wait, what's El Al?
I think the panel
Israel's. I mean, Israel being a secular country, it's their airline, their national airline.
Oh, okay.
El Al.
Okay. And what are the this is a hugely important question what did they do on that airline? They must be no strangers to this concept, so they must have a speedy way of dealing with it. And what is that?
I don't know. I've never been on that flight, nor would I ever.
I know. It was more of a rhetorical question. I'm saying, like, this is the question that needs to be asked. Like, well, okay, what do the experts do that are in charge of both expedient aviation and not offending?
Here's the core of what bothers me about this situation: is they have the ability, because they buy their tickets in blocks and they travel together in groups, they have the ability to buy seats around them or make sure that they're all sitting next to each other and not delay the flight. But they truly don't care. And part of the reason they don't care is because they are led to believe that they are pure and they are better than everyone on that plane who's not an Orthodox Jew. They're better. God views them as better people. Those other people are not worthy. And so they don't even care. That's part of the mindset that bothers me.
They know in advance. They're like, well, we're going to get on the plane. There's going to be some chicks, and we're going to have to.
Of course they do.
We're going to hold everybody up. They? That's pretty insidious. I mean, it's like your religion
They could take a simple action to not
to protect their own little corner of the world.
To be a decent human being with amongst other human beings in a live and let live way, to be accommodating, to be polite, to have a civil discourse. They could do that should they want, but they don't.
Yeah, I think
they don't care to.
I think that there's something that like I'll move off of this hot oven with this. I just think this conversation confirms my thought. Like, I'm more prone to. I mean, Kumail was raised Muslim, but is not practicing. Is that accurate?
What if he is God?
Be amazing.
I like the idea of someone who's like so against Orthodox Judaism, but must have come on.
No, it's a razor thin wire this guy walks theologically.
There actually is a razor thin wire in Islam where that's how you get to heaven. Is like you have to cross a razor thin wire, and if you fall down, you go to hell. That's actually true.
That's so weird because.
Well, that makes sense scientifically. That I get. That I understand.
You guys, I think, I'm not going to get any argument out of you when I say something that some valve in my body makes me go, like, well, don't say it all the way, because to some degree, I feel like I'm speaking on behalf of a lot of people that I don't like when I say this, a lot of organizations, a lot of the world around us that I don't like when I say, get over your boogeyman to the extent that it's going to affect other people. You just gotta. There has to be like this global recognition that, you know, if you're Amish, you can be as Amish as you want on your Amish farm. And unfortunately, it's like still you're being marginalized and you're being disempowered, but we gotta move on with this fucking planet. We gotta get off it before it dies. We do that with lasers. You say lasers are bad luck. We don't believe you. I gotta get to work. I'm a woman. I'm not gonna grow a dick. I gotta invent a laser in Israel. So I think that it's like we have made that choice. We also feel very queasy about saying it because
I don't.
And that's really, I think that's admirable. I do, because it actually is like it's easier to do what I'm doing, which is be Alan Alda, like kind of.
I appreciate let's be civil about this. Let's listen to all sides. Let's think about this. But I didn't have this early on, and now at 50, I really don't have it. And I live in an area upstate in New York, and it's one of the poorest. It's near one of the poorest counties, and it's the poorest county because there's a place called, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correctly, Kiryas Joel, and it's where tens of thousands of Orthodox have come in, and they're and they breed like fucking like Catholic rabbits, and you know, they're sapping the public services and the monies that are and they're like, you know, nine to a room in these in public housing, and they have their own they won't let like police on. I mean, it's crazy, and I wish I had more solid anecdotal stuff, but they're really rude. Like, if you ever have an interaction with them, they're really rude, and they will not acknowledge you. And if you know, God forbid, you're a woman and you hold the door open for them, you know, like in a market or something, they just won't even acknowledge you.
And that's the big deal breaker. It's like half the population is women. Women's rights is like that's
what
the
they
kind
do
of
their
fun.
Own women is criminal.
Right,
that shit is criminal.
And that's I think going to be finally the interesting thing about it is that women who we freed slaves and let them vote before we finally somehow begrudgingly found it in ourselves to say that women could partake in society.
If you've watched any of the Real Housewives shows, there's a point that it's valid.
Like, and a lot of the slaves had dicks, which is where the voting power comes from. So.
But it'll be amazing the fact that women are actually like kind of like this weird shield slash weapon that is the final like decision maker in the battle that's very difficult to have between, there's 8 billion of us now. Are we gonna keep entertaining this notion that every single fucking conception gets to have its own barbed wire fence around it, protected by every goddamn thing? If you believe in this society that if somebody's hitting their wife and no matter where they're living that they're supposed to stop hitting their wife, then we all agree that we have to like. Then there's certain freedoms that we have been protecting that may have to kind of erode.
Yeah,
under
but the problem is the people you're talking about, you're talking to the people I don't probably not a lot of people in this room are listening to this podcast, but most people in America and most people in other countries are religious, and they have a different but equally kind of crazy notion. And so if anybody points to what is markedly near criminal behavior from certain Orthodox Jews and sects, then the finger's going to be pointed to them, and then it's a slippery slope. It dominoes down. Right. And then.
Do you think they're thinking that far ahead, those people? Aren't those people the ones you can really count on? If I go to Billy Graham's audience and go, hey, who wants to make laws against praying to a different God than yours? Don't you think they'd sign up immediately? And then I could go, gotcha. I don't know if they're... Are they like, whoa, stay your hand, Jebediah. It's the classic trap.
I think they're...
Oh,
I think
we love Islam. Yeah, come on. That was a lot of stereotypes I made in a poll. Like...
No, I think that you know there's the if you said, hey, I've got this magic piece of paper, if you sign this, then this thing will happen, then people will sign it happily. But it just doesn't work that way. And I think, you know, let's go back to Islam, which is obviously the much more
be very careful.
it's the more
It's the king of beers.
It's the flashpoint. You know, it's the easy one. It's the easy one make fun of and use
ask
as an
questions
example.
About. Like yeah, and look at examine the line between what we perceive as women's rights, human rights across the planet, and like freedom of religion. Yes,
but,
it makes
yeah,
the
but
easy
I'm,
surf.
I'm happy to say I have zero power, but I'm happy to say it's all wrong. It's all bullshit. It all should be. I mean, certain behaviors should be outlawed
I think if it affects other people,
society. Yeah, absolutely.
Someone has to like stand up and say, we are a human planet now. That the you know, like like when Jesus said, "Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's," like you know, because they were trying to get him in like gotcha scenarios where they're like, "Well, are you going to pay taxes, bro? Because if you are, isn't that kind of like praying to Caesar?" And he's like, "I if I'm interpreting this passage right, he's like, don't try to catch me in that shit. You can be a really holy person in your living room and like pay your taxes. Go ahead. Like revolution is not going to happen because you like ran up the court steps and spit in someone's eye necessarily. I'm not telling you not to do that either. But like Caesar made the fucking money. Caesar loves the money. Give Caesar his fucking money. Like let's get back to talking about this other shit. The that idea extended to a now like we are I mean atheism wins. Like there is a like the you look into space and you we need to continue to have a relationship with the fact that we're psycho monkeys that don't know what we're doing.
Right, but I want to go back to something you said before I was even brought up here, and you were talking about gay rights, and you were talking about why would straight homophobic men not allow gay marriage, by proxy, just tolerate homosexuals in society. And I think the answer, I don't know, I've got no scientific basis in this, but those are people with some form of religious training.
Right, that's what I was saying, exactly.
I don't wear my atheism on my sleeve if I do a show like this, which I don't do that often. I'm happy to mention it. If you get me in a bar or a pub and we've got a couple pints, I'll fucking scream to the rafters. But I don't belong to an atheist society. I'm not a spokesman. I firmly, vehemently believe in my belief.
There's no belief, dude. You just fucked yourself with your words.
I imagine an Orthodox Jew saying that to you in that voice.
Yeah. He just converted.
Yeah.
And
but he's in it to win it.
But no, one of the things that makes me proud to be an atheist is because those people can't understand it, is I am tolerant. I'm not tolerant of people who aren't intolerant.
Right.
But I don't know of any atheists who go, man, fucking fags really weird me out. I think gays shouldn't be allowed to marry. I think it's wrong. I think it goes against everything that's natural. It's like, well, who taught you that? Who told you that? Me. you just don't. Atheists don't do that.
That's a really, really. I'm sure that point's been pounded at me a lot, but it just sunk in. Like that is a huge, just very anecdotal but powerful example in favor of atheism's like evangelism, which my pet peeve is evangelical atheists, zealots who they don't.
I don't like them either.
They're not just defending
me off,
women, you know, from being abused under the guise of religion. They're bothering to say, and that's why if you're in Kmart and you think that if you genuflect you might get a better lottery pick, you're an asshole and should die. It's kind of like, you don't need to. Clean up the living room one potted plant at a time.
I mean, I agree with a lot of what you guys are saying, but also, like, there's a lot of people who are very religious who are doing the right kinds of things and that they're not infringing on other people's rights. And it's whatever you believe that gets you through the day. If you think it's rubbing a stone in your armpit will stop it from sweating and not give you Alzheimer's, or that there's a God that's watching out for you.
Well, so there's so much human, beautiful human mythology arriving out of the core need for it, which is that when you become a conscious mammal, before you have a microscope to tell you anything, and by the way, what you find under the microscope ain't that heartening, but before you even have that, it is a fucked up thing to realize as a mammal that you are alive and that you're going to die. Right. And 6 million years before, well, okay, that's going back a little far. 3 million years before you get to be somewhat comforted by the fact that milk can be pasteurized, like you're alone in a dark world that basically on the fundamental level still to this day fucks you up in the same way, which is like, I'm like, well, I start to love my wife. Like I was holding her hand in couples therapy, and the therapist was asking me what I think about when I hold her hand, and I burst into tears and said, I think about the fact that one of us is going to die. And that's existence, and that is something that we use mythology with which to cope with.
Well, this is what we were talking about earlier today, right? You and I, we were like, nothing really means anything. If you look at how insignificant we are in the universe, nothing we do means anything. We lie to ourselves. We tell us that we do podcasts and that's important, and we make movies and TV shows, and that's how we get through the day. And that's the lies we tell ourselves, and then some people tell different lies. As long as they don't infringe on my lies, that's fine.
The cancer comes in when you say you're not allowed to say lies.
Right.
You can't say that. What do you mean it's a lie? That's where the problem starts. As Joseph Campbell said, like, when religion loses its transparency, when it becomes opaque, when you start looking at a stained glass window like it's like a thing that has a use, instead of just looking at it like, this is a neat way to frame something we don't understand and couldn't otherwise see unless it was decorated with this fun, fucking flimsy, transparent shit. Like it's in this dance we do. Like, when we're shooting people because our religion has rules, that should be your first indication, in my opinion, that that is not a religion. You are not practicing a religion. You are practicing something much more real than religion. Religion's bottle says there should not be bullets involved because that's politics. Politics bottle says buy bullets. It comes with bullets in the bottle.
I think you're wrong. I wish that was true, but I think religion is bullets. I think religion has become bullets. But maybe
we could both agree that politics is the one that exploits that aspect of religion and keeps it going, whereas religion could be your lucky rabbit's foot.
Power, maybe. But religion is a violent, you know.
What are you talking about? Give me one example. Of religion ever causing any violence.
Let's soften up this hard penis-like conversation about open-mindedness and the importance of our policy regarding religion with the soft, acquiescent, intuitive influence of my wife's vagina. Please welcome Aaron McGathy.
Can you feel it?
Oh, yeah.
The vibrations of my vagina.
Any thoughts, sweetie? You've been listening.
I love it.
I feel like you haven't been listening.
I mean, just the thing when he said so good.
I remember when I was first dating Aaron, we went back to my place and you insisted on playing a 10-minute like David Cross bit about gold foil being used on desserts. And we just sat and listened to it like we were like listening to the Grateful Dead or something. And I think it was like a little test, right? Like if I had gone, oh, I don't know, gold foil is pretty cool in desserts. Like you would have dumped me.
My dad is a Baptist minister, and when I was in college, I cleaned houses. And the thing that I listened to over and over again was "Shut Up, You Fucking Baby," your 2002. Which I wasn't going to mention. I was going to be real cool and not say that I was a big fan. But I feel very empowered by David Cross's atheism and not challenged by it. I mean, in 2002, I was 18 years old, 17 years old.
I feel like an idiot, but I've never connected those dots.
Eleven.
Atheism has a harder work to do to connect to things like misogyny and homophobia.
That's like, the hard thing is like religion. You have to buy into all this crazy shit. All right, what do I get in return? You get to go to heaven, and it's rivers of milk, and all the babes you can fuck, and that's the promise of religion, right? Atheism is like, this is all there is, but we can have fun, and it'll make sense, and then you die, and everything goes away.
I feel very empowered by, like, I wouldn't consider myself an atheist, but I feel very empowered by humanism and, like, the way that you talk about atheism in that way, the way that you approach it, it doesn't feel hateful. Tonight.
Well, that's good. I've certainly been accused of the opposite.
I always feel like the most attractive thing about atheism is the same reason why I don't bother quite to go all the way over to it, which is that it's the edge of the pool. It is the real thing that is there to hold you up and keep you from drowning. And in the meantime, I'm like, I'm gonna try to dog paddle.
I like the holidays,
but it's. people who try to convince you to be atheists are wrong. You either are or you aren't, and you should be left alone to do. And everybody should be left alone as long as you don't impinge on their day to day, week to week, year to year life, or your children. And that's why, like you were saying, I really can't stand those proselytizing atheists. Yeah. And it's annoying. It's off putting. And you are or you aren't. You don't. It's not like a big struggle. And if it is, God bless you on your on your journey. But I guess the credo of the atheist should just be simply to yourself. I don't need a book to tell me the right way to treat people.
But what happens to your skin, like when you say you're atheist, like to the world? Like what happens?
Well, I'm dark skinned. I'm Jew, so
I got an olive. I used to be white, then I became super atheist, and then this happened. I will say, I mean, I won't say that I'm atheist or not, because people would have a weird reaction to it, and I want to be careful. But for me, if you do a thought experiment and you're like, there's no religion, it's atheism, and then you look at the world from a purely atheist perspective, that is the world that makes the most sense to me. Like, just scientifically, from the things we understand and know, that's the version that seems to make the most sense.
Except that the human eye is so complicated. Kidding! Kidding.
Right. You're saying that a windstorm could come through an airplane, what is the thing, or...
Airport?
No, it's a... Oh, what's the anti-atheist thing? It's a... Yeah, there's like a scattered graveyard of airport parts in this story. The idea that the wind would come and then it would just magically create this...
Logic to try to prove their religion. And they go like, well, how come when I open peanut butter, there's no ants in it?
Right.
What? Who told you that would...
Well, the plane thing doesn't make sense because it's evolution. So there were... millions of other planes that didn't get made, and they're just wing on a seat.
You can tell us that. We want you to know you don't have to. I'm marveling at those guys are like, look, doesn't it seem like the banana was meant to fit in a hand? Atheist's worst nightmare. Yeah. They have videos like that. And there's a guy that takes you through the banana. The added irony, by the way, forget the fact that monkeys came after bananas. Just the added irony that the banana he's holding is the result of a post-human genetic experiment. Like, there's no banana that ever looked like that before we invented fucking DNA manipulation.
He's like, look, it's a whole fruit that's a handle. That means there's a God.
And the extra irony is he keeps demonstrating how to eat the banana and how natural it is. So he just it looks so... I'm sure it's his nightmare how gay he looks. He's got this spray on tan and he's like, I need to go like this. Isn't this great? Oh, this is great. And the guy next to him's like, yeah, that's great. Ah, those atheists are really crying right now.
Anything shaped like this is God's answer. Put it in your mouth.
Now, put it in your mouth.
And there's like...
My favorite thing is when people get upset that when they get insulted at the notion that of evolution, when they're like, they're trying to say that we came from monkeys. They're not saying like your dad fucked a monkey.
We're like, how come if you stay at the zoo long enough, you don't see a person all of a sudden going, let me out of here?
Yeah.
Why doesn't that ever happen? We've had zoos for 700 years.
Seriously, watch Planet of the Apes backwards. That'll explain everything.
There was this... I read that this school had this creation science fair, and the person who came in first place put, glass jar, put sand and rocks inside it and sealed it. And a couple weeks later, nothing had evolved, so evolution disproved. But I thought it'd be so awesome if they pulled it out and there's, a little giraffe in there. Fuck.
Well, the crazy thing is that the scientific version of what we're talking about, almost disturbing, Oprin's hypothesis was didn't Oprin take a tank full of primordial kind of shit that would exist in the beginning when put electric currents through it to simulate lightning and simulated the real jar of peanut butter that would have a giraffe in it, and the actual scientific giraffe did like come out of nowhere.
Wait, is this the guy from the 20s though?
Yeah, I think.
Wait, who's this? Discredited though? Did oh, they? Because they couldn't find. He lost all his a place caught on fire, one of his labs or something.
That and was then, the frog guy. I think I know what you're.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah,
of.
Yeah, I wonder that's if that's the same guy.
I really Wait, thought you said 20s. Oprah's hypothesis.
Welcome to my new science podcast. We should look this up later. If you're joining us, you're on a device that gives you more information than we have. Well, we're just going to talk about it. But yeah, I remember learning in high school, Oprah's hypothesis is locked in my head is like, holy shit, there's a certain kind of like amount of shit. It wasn't like a giraffe. It wasn't even a cell or even a strand of RNA, but it was like, an amino acid or a protein or something like spontaneously assembled itself.
So it was like non-living to living is basically what you're saying? Is that what it is?
No, not non-living to living, but non-living to building block of, right. of future living kind of stuff.
Sure.
But as David says, you should probably check in if the last science fact you know is from high school and you're 42 years old. That should probably... It's a lot. There's different number of planets in my solar system since when I went to high school. David, I know you just... You graciously got off a plane and came over here, so we don't want to keep you. But are there any I don't know, like while you have the attention of hundreds and hundreds of people that love you, anything else you need to plug or say, plant in their heads?
I would not debase myself after this heady intellectual discussion.
I thought it was really nice. I hope you had a good enough time that you'd like to come back at some point.
Yeah,
I think
absolutely.
People,
yeah.
people here are really into you. Yeah. All right. David Cross, ladies and gentlemen.
Dan.
I sat right next to him like a weirdo.
I miss him. Remember when David was here?
Yeah, yeah.
That was fun.
Yeah. Are you taking a dig at me?
No.
Oh.
Right. Wait, how am I taking a dig at you?
Because he stepped off the stage and you immediately started missing him. And I'm the only one left.
No. Not a dig. Right. Now suddenly people understood. Now they think it's a dig. It was never a dig.
No. What they started understanding is how fucked up I am.
Yes.
They went, whoa, that's a pretzel brain.
I always think there's a video with that banana thing that's
yes,
amazing.
It's amazing.
I always, whenever people are like, well, this is proof of a benevolent God, I'm always like, yeah, but there's also fucking tigers around, you know?
Those people fascinate me the most because it's like, well, they have the easiest move in the magic deck, which is faith. I don't care. And they don't use it. They choose the logic path to be a Christian. And what are you doing? Why are you playing basketball in skis?
Yeah. My dad, who I said earlier is a Baptist minister, after sermons sometimes I would see people come up to him the same way that someone would come up to, come on, Aaron, who's one person who was in Star Trek? God damn it, Aaron, who is one actor? Whoopi Goldberg.
Cradle robber.
Yeah. Wait, why didn't you want to say a Star Trek person?
Because it's analogous to people who come up to actors in Star Trek and say like, hey, like I was just thinking about it and this could actually happen because I did the math and you guys got to this planet at this certain speed. And in the same way to my dad after sermons, a guy would be like, yeah, I took all the bees out of Genesis and I added them together and that number is the same number of days that Noah had lunch with Sarah and so like this stuff is totally real and my dad would be like, all right.
Well, yeah, you can find patterns wherever. And
yeah.
That's what I love about your dad. I don't know if I told like one of the things when I was like, okay, this is my father-in-law. I just have to marry his daughter still. when you told me about how he's a Navy chaplain, but like one of his Navy seamen. Crewman seaman? I don't want to call someone a seaman unless I absolutely know that I'm supposed to.
They call them the jizz boys. One of his jizz boys.
And one of his jizz boys.
That's what my dad said.
Is that one of the guys within his flock was a Scientologist, and so he had a stat. He went out and bought Scientology books. He's a Baptist preacher. He's fine with gay marriage. He has to go up against his own congregation sometimes and the powers that be above him. But in addition to that, he knows that his role is to these are soldiers and they're in a time of crisis no matter what, and like my job is to be there for any kind of emergency I need spiritually. And he read Scientology books so that in a pinch, if somebody the one Scientologist aboard got his pinky stuck in a cannon door, yeah, he'd be like, "Oh, Mixoplex, please help me." And your dad would be like, "I know what he means." Yeah. Mixoplex, dookie doo.
Yeah, my dad also carries a wand.
Some of you Scientologists in the audience may have been offended by my depiction of your religion. We're on a bullet train here. We gotta.
Should we bring out?
We gotta bring out the boys.
Let's bring out the boys. Let's bring out the jizz boys.
The jizz boys.
We gotta bring out Game Master Spencer Crittenden. And he was with us last time when we were creating our characters, and he's still here. I'm assuming he's coming up. Demorge Brown. Downtown Demorge Brown, we call him. Because there's another Demorge Brown who does comedy sketches and stuff. So Downtown Demorge Brown is the VJ version. Doing references from 1982. You will get them if you go home and ask your parents there for the VCR in their floorboards.
When I was a kid, there was a kid named Wesley Brown who was bigger than I was and had a bald head and glasses, and he used to say, "Downtown Demorge Brown," every time I came in the room.
That
sounds like an oracle.
So people knew that there was a difference.
You liked that, though, right? That sounds nice.
He did that to everybody. He was like a basketball announcer, sort of.
But he didn't. Well, okay, all right, yeah. I guess that belies the illusion.
Wasn't Downtown Julia Brown missing for a while?
But they found her in the least likely of places.
Yeah, uptown.
It's the story everyone's talking about. A celebrity disappearance with a nomenclatural twist. Yes, Downtown Julie Brown. I wonder how that works. Remember Julie? Does anyone in this room remember Julie Brown, the non-downtown Julie Brown?
Yeah, yes. She just did a comedy show in Los Feliz a couple of weeks ago.
I always liked her
a lot.
In
the character of Julie Brown, which I was very confused by because I thought that was her, but she said, "I'm doing a show in the character of Julie Brown."
Didn't she write Earth Girls Are Easy, or was she just in it? I don't know. She was very creatively active back before there was an internet to be kind of fringy but also funny. She was a hero to some people. Should have her on the show. Talk to her about looking at Jeff Goldblum's Do you ever see Earth Girls Are Easy?
Yes.
I've seen the cover of the tape.
I watched it last Christmas.
All right. So
was Whoopi Goldberg in it? Because she's the only. I know. Someone just said no. Thank you.
But is it,
can you follow me around in my life so I can pick up a shoe and I'd be like lunch and you'd be like no, that's not lunch, Aaron.
Damon Wayans. Right?
Oh.
Isn't Damon Wayans?
Yes. Damon Wayans, Jim Carrey, and Jeff Goldblum
and
are three
half a
aliens
musical.
that are like hairy, furry alien people that descend on the valley. And oh my God, the only Earthlings that they meet are like these valley girls, which was like a thing. And then they shave them, and they're like, "Oh my God, you're totally hot underneath all that fur."
What do they shave on them?
Their bodies.
Fur. They have red and yellow.
Oh, I thought you meant
fur.
They shave the girls.
No.
Oh God, no.
The girls don't have fur all over them. The aliens do, and they shave them, and they look like.
I mean,
Jim
the girls
Carrey
do have fur all over them, but they've been conditioned by society to take care of that before it becomes the aliens' problem.
When they're fat, like Jim Carrey's green, they're different colors.
Yeah, they're like different little Teletubbies almost, like with these lithe bodies. It's a interesting movie in a world where I don't know, kids should watch it. Zardoz, Hudson Hawk, watch movies that kind of, you know, went off.
Is the title ironic? Are Earth Girls not actually easy?
I don't know.
They were in that movie. They were easy.
Huh. I think the title obviously just bridges, at the time, an ironic coupling, which is sci-fi with sexuality.
Sounds like a movie that was written after somebody said we should have a movie called Earth Girls Are Easy.
I think it might have been based on a Julie Brown novelty song. Frankly, I don't know if she made that because she was. Yeah, look it up. Google it again. Thank you for coming to Pop Culture. We'll look it up later.
Spencer is here.
Yeah,
hey guys.
Yeah. There he is.
Yay. Thanks, audience. I needed that. So I got a weird anecdote I got to share. Okay, so I hang out with my friend Matt Landsman. He's a friend of mine, and I've had the convention of when I enter the room, I have a wireless Jambox speaker. When I enter the room, I play the John Cena theme song right as I open the door. I hope you guys know the theme song. Anyway, the other night I was at my friend Matt's house, and his roommate was just coming home, and I didn't have the song quite queued up, and we all realized what had to happen. I had to get the song queued up before he got in the house, and no one knew how that was going to happen, so I was like, lock the door, and my friend runs and does the chain, you know, the chain where you, yeah, locks the door like that. And I'm queuing up the song. I got it. It starts playing. You know, it takes about 6 seconds to really kick in. And like right as the guy's going up, Scabadoo! Part, like the roommate literally kicks in the door and enters the room right as John Cena is like, bam, 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 bam. It was amazing and horrifying.
That's the culmination of that whole. You can never play that song now.
I know. It's ruined now. Yeah. You have to destroy property to play the song.
That story requires familiarity with that song for sure.
Yeah, I wish. No. I kind of wanted to walk
otherwise
on.
Otherwise, it's just a story that your friend came home and kicked in the door.
Yeah, you need to know the song, but I feel confident that most everyone has heard that song before. So,
well,
very confident.
I don't know the song, but I really got the story. I was there with you.
Well,
yeah, I was.
You got to listen to the song, man. John Cena theme song on Google, third video result down. I know how to get it. If I type J-O into Google,
it says John Cena
there.
Theme song.
Yeah.
Right. Like, we know
I think
you.
That's just you, Spencer.
Oh, no, I know. That's what I'm saying. I do that so often. It's two letters for me.
I have to tell this story now because I'll never remember it, and I just remembered it. I had a girl over to my apartment like when I back in my horrible flawed bachelor days. Very small, two-bedroom apartment in Las Feliz, and for some reason we were, you know, we had been on a couple dates, and I guess this is, you're going to find out that I'm a bad third date, but we were going to watch 2001. And I, whatever we ate or whatever was happening to me, this is a small apartment, and like the bathroom is right next to the living room, and the door is thin, and it was like, there's just no. I hadn't made those calculations. It was like, I like this girl. We're watching 2001. Oh, gurgle, gurgle. I gotta go do something that I can tell already is gonna have acoustic attributes to it. So I go in the bathroom, and I swear to God, even though it seems like a really dumb sitcom pitch, or like not even because it's I'm listening to her watching 2001. Because I didn't want to pause it because I didn't want silence while I did this.
Yeah.
So I'm listening to it. And
you can't turn the volume up because then she knows.
So my only choice is I'm waiting for Thus Spake Zarathustra to crescendo.
Yeah.
That's my plan. But like I know it sounds fake. It sounds like I'm Spalding Gray. And I'm like I'm.
Does not sound like you're Spalding Gray.
I mean, like a Spalding Gray, like.
No, I know. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to make you.
Guys, can you give us a minute?
Baby, you're spotted, you're gonna die on the stage. Don't worry, leave it on that. You're good.
You know? Yeah. Spend my life being a joke. I gotta be a joke with you too?
I don't know.
Anyways, we're back, and so later, Mr. Recipe is gonna come out and show you a strudel that will
shit your pants off.
So I was on the toilet, trying to like wait for this calm, serene, epic investigation of the human condition to reach its point in the overture when the timpani drums covered my fucking, and it didn't. It worked the exact opposite because I was like prepping it, and then I framed it, and I swear what happened was just like drums going boom, 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 boom. Like it was like the song was like I was doing it with the song. It was framed by it, and then after a point it was just like. Just get it out. Stop it. Because everything you're doing to try to... You're Daffy Duck now. Everything you do is, like, making you not Bugs Bunny. Just flush it and just finish it. Just see how this goes. And I came out, and I went, sorry about that. And she was like, about what? But like also like the look on her face was like kind of like, now that I look back on it, I'm like, she was saying about what, as if to say, don't talk about your shit after making me listen to it.
Well, that's her problem.
Well, I don't know. She was like, about what? And then I was like, well, about the noisy shit I took. And I kind of, and she's like, I didn't hear it. She's like, stop. Third date. All right, so...
Word for word, Spalding Gray's final performance.
I gotta look up Spalding Gray.
I feel weird that also, like, David, I went, my whole thing was in fealty to David. I wanted to, like, let him go because I didn't want to hold him up. But he went backstage and he's watching the show. And now I feel like...
Bring him back out. Bring him back out.
Oh, that's why. Oh. All right, we'll understand if you leave very quickly after your encore.
No, I'm happy. Were you letting me go just?
I have this awkward thing where I'm not a self-loathing nerd, but I've had enough guests where toward the end of the show I've had to explain to them, we're about to do something you might not understand. Because around this hour we go into a role playing game and we're starting a new one tonight, and I never know first of all how prepared Spencer is to throw new random people into something, and I also never know how the people feel about it, and so I.
Well, we're not doing the adventure today, right? We're just introducing the character.
Well, you know, I thought that we told the audience we'd play. No one knows Shadowrun. There's this thing in Shadowrun that's like a quick start rules guide that comes with
Shadowrun.
Yeah.
Oh. the guy's right here.
Dan.
Oh, okay.
Dan, your instinct was correct.
David, have you ever played any role-playing games?
Like that kind of thing? No.
But
it's,
like,
it's kind of like if Lord of the Rings was. Oh fuck!
Have you ever heard the word Shadowrun before?
No.
Shadowrun. It was a late '70s song by Billy Joe and the Fish. And baby, you make my shadow run. Variation on that.
Can you go on and explain what that would mean? Like, if someone was to make your shadow run,
it's your spirit, your soul, your the idea of who and what you are, what you stand for, what you believe. But it's inside you, but then you're going to the forest for this whole other reason. There's a whole backstory, and you're going to the edge of the forest, and then you get scared, but not. It's a switch.
because you ate a funny cake, and the body would normally be scared, but your essence would not be scared and would stand up
and
fight. But in this switcheroo, because the warlock of Glenbore falls, and you've already gone through the Valley of Tears, so you go. So now you're at the forest, and so your essence gets scared, and then it runs through. And shadow is just a shortcut term for everything. Yeah,
I thought it was like you make me want to be a better person. You make the dark parts of me flee.
I mean, you know, it's interesting.
I had your explanation to think about mine.
I thought it meant that, like, in a relationship, you lose yourself, so you make your shadow run. You don't see yourself anymore. You just, like, you're absorbed.
Oh, you lose the self in a way that's selfless. Wow, this...
Wait, what do you mean? Wait, I didn't get that.
Shadow run!
Well, you see your shadow, you see yourself, you see your reflection of yourself.
Right.
You make my shadow run... I like what you are so much, and I am at such a deficit as a person that you make my shadow run. I'm just you now. I am going to be absorbed.
Oh, I thought it's a more positive thing in that you're not obsessed with yourself in the way you were before. Now there's someone else that you care for, and so you're not just self-reflexive all the time. You're
okay.
No, wait a second.
That's a better way to look at it.
I thought. I mean, obviously we've been joking around, but. I thought it's from 12 o'clock in the afternoon till just about 5 o'clock during the spring and fall, and then but time time goes quicker, so your shadow actually elongates and goes away.
You make my life go.
Oh, time goes by like
it's
a
like
moment
time
with
goes,
you. You
make right.
my shadow run. It
yeah, yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Exactly.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
I just saw an older guy who looked a lot like my dad and wore blue jeans and would walk along the roadside at like 1 o'clock in the morning singing to himself.
That one's wrong.
That song.
That one's
that's
wrong.
Right.
That one's wrong.
The exception that
Typical.
Proves the rule.
Classic dad.
I know that I think what this song has going for it is that sun rhymes with run and the sun makes a shadow go away.
I like the sundial theory, which is what I'm calling David's.
I think the sun makes the shadow show up. I don't.
No.
Because
at 12 noon, there's no shadow because the sun
I
is.
I tried to block myself from everything in your sun. But in the end, baby, you made my shadow run.
All right. Like you move through the sky and then no matter how hard I try, you move through the sky and make my darkness come undone. ..
You make my shadow.
Baby, you make my shadow. From 9 to 5, I got a plier in my hand and a.
What is that job?
That's
Dan?
Just blue collar flavor. Like
yeah.
Now, a little fun fact is he
also
recorded
a plier,
that. He recorded that with over 30. I think it was 32 different tools, so it could apply.
So he could sell it. A different one.
He could sell it to different.
Like Huey Lewis's song when he's like Milwaukee.
The heart of rock and roll.
Seattle. Well, honey, that's our city. I didn't even know we were fans of this guy. How did he do that? Is he in our radio?
I have that Shadow Wrongs. Run song stuck in my head now. For real.
Time
I block your light, but when the day is done, baby, you make my shadow run.
My shadow run.
That's a duet from the TV movie.
But in the morning, the light comes again.
All right, so. All right.
So you do know what Shadowrun is.
Well,
I was just going to say that's going to make everything a lot easier now that we are all on the same page.
I was so hoping you were just stewing there. You were like, this is a serious thing, and you're about to snap. That is not what Shadowrun is, guys. Somebody worked hard on this.
I mean, and not even in a joke, in all seriousness, I've encountered like seven of those kinds of Shadowrun enthusiasts already, and I'm getting kind of sick of that. So
people who are like too into it.
Yeah,
mean?
I'm gonna lean in that other direction. I mean, when you're talking about fairies and shit, you can't take yourself seriously. That's what the Irish do.
Look what it got him.
That brings the whole theme into it, both gay rights and religious transparency.
Yeah.
It's like, well, don't grow. I'm not Archie Bunker. I'm just saying, like, yeah, if you take anything too seriously, you lose your shadow.
I thought when he, like, Irish fairies, you were trying to connect those two.
Yeah. Like, what if the Irish believed in fairies so much that when you flew Aer Lingus, if an Irish guy got on the plane, he was like, I'm sorry, I can't. That person's got salt on their shoe. We wouldn't tolerate it from them.
Aer Lingus sounds really sexual.
It does.
Yeah, yeah. The joy of it.
But so, there's no fairies in Shadowrun world, right? It's like a cyberpunk thing.
No, I mean, there's orcs and elves and shit. I don't think there's fairies necessarily.
Yeah, come on, man. There are no fairies.
But it's like technology-based.
Yeah. Yeah. I did read if elves contract one of those viruses, they could turn into a banshee, and I know that a banshee is a fairy.
Yep.
Shit.
Yeah, you're marveling. I will take that sound at face value. You are marveling at me. As people don't laugh when Evel Knievel makes a landing. Like, I know that sound was... You were breathless.
Shadowrun is like D&D if trolls had pink mohawks and spray paint.
And iPads. Yeah,
spray paint. iPads. The hallmark of technology. But yes, that's true, though. That's
yeah,
right.
Aliens are going to come and be like, these guys, and oh, they have spray paint cans. Leave them alone.
Your paint ain't confined to just a can and a brush, it's in the air.
What?
Air doesn't rhyme with Shadowrun. It's not going to, no matter how long we wait.
So what is Shadow? Everyone's familiar with it. Right?
No, I don't think anyone's familiar with it. It's a role playing game in which, like, collectively we tell a story together, where these guys play as characters.
I know that's your justification for playing it, but what is?
Oh no,
that one cut a little deep.
Yeah.
Oh, let's get ready to rumble.
No, it's like Dungeons and Dragons, where it's a story, but the context is different. But it's the same. Yeah.
It's a different world. It's not as sword and sorcery. It's more technology and magic
in the future.
But lasers and spray paint.
Yeah, right. It's like a dystopian Earth.
So technology, like where, I'm not trying to be funny, but where you'd have a spell that would do a certain thing. Now you have technology that does a certain thing.
Well, it's actually both. So you got your guys who cast magic, but then you also have guys who, you know, just have guns and robot parts that hate people with magic.
Wow. David, you said you weren't.
That is too much.
And hacking.
It's a lot to digest.
I think he's got a good grasp on it. If William Gibson's future or Blade Runner, like if in the midst of Blade Runner, then someone said, there's elves now.
It's dystopian Hobbit.
It's a mishmash.
Yeah, no, that's a good way of putting it. It's just it is just like Blade Runner, except
David,
also magic.
Seems like lazy writing to me.
Okay. Yeah, it's how you get around. Like, how are they going to be? Oh, they have magic, so they can do whatever the fuck they want. It's like the giant eagles and the Hobbit. Anyway, we don't have to get into it.
Are you a D&D guy?
I don't really know. I just know it from playing it here. I love, like, fantasy stuff, but do you like sci-fi stuff? Do you like Blade Runner and shit like that?
I like Blade Runner. I don't some science fiction stuff I do, but as a I'm not drawn to the genre like okay. other people are.
You only like the best examples of it, probably.
Just good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. I'm fine with good. Yeah. There just isn't a lot of good.
Well, and since the first edition of Shadowrun was introduced in 1987, is that right? And
then, I think, yeah.
So it's I'd been around you. For a while, but we're now in the fifth edition.
Yeah, meanwhile, we can't get someone to take another pass at the Quran. We've got... I should stop saying that.
Before it becomes your catchphrase?
Yeah. It won't be it for very long. I'll get hebdoed. What? I can say it.
Yeah, he's right. He's right. He didn't make the rules. He's just riding them across the finish line.
So, yeah, I mean, originally we were going to present characters, you know, even if, you know, that might take the whole time we have left.
But let's present the characters, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I could pass these out. I'll do that. Make funnies.
All right. Let's see.
Shadow.
Do you guys... do you make the characters, or are the characters are part of the game?
We kind of like we consulted with him because it's a new game with a new milieu. So we talked last episode about the kinds of characters we'd like to play, and so there's been a sort of interplay between Spencer doing arguably probably the hardest, most joyless work of like rolling our characters.
Yeah, but the guys like that love that shit.
I hate it.
I love it.
It took me about a combined 16 hours for all of these. It was not.
Yeah, you got something to do. Great. All right.
That's true, though. I was actually at work not doing anything during those 16
hours. But you love doing it. You get joy from it, right? This isn't work.
I mean,
this
there's joy happens at some point in the equation, sure. There's joy. I mean, there was joy.
So David, what it is so there'll be like different races you can choose from, like orc.
It's a pencil, Dan.
Or like wizards or hackers or whatever it is.
So we all.
Yeah, I made you know folders for everyone. There's a lot of bullets in this game, so you really need to be marking your own inventory. And
I would
shit.
Say the thread that the pencil is attached to is really above and beyond.
Yeah, that's because
is
you guys are gonna lose them.
I feel like I'm at a bank.
I mean.
Yeah.
I don't want to lose these things.
No, thank
you're
you.
You'd take them home otherwise or something. I don't know.
No, this is.
I can't just buy
so
pencils every day.
That's great. So let's talk about these guys.
Yeah, let's.
So can we start with my guy?
Yeah. Do you know about your guy? I actually sent you an email about him. I don't know if you read it.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I read mine.
Yeah.
No, so assume I didn't read it.
Okay, well, I'll just pull up this email I sent you. All right.
What email address did you send it to? Do not say that.
Yeah. It's KoranReboot@AOL.com.
All right, well, I'll
read... new gimmick. You're the Yakov Smirnoff of...
I'm really pushing for a rewrite of the Quran. That's my stance.
So if you haven't read yours, let's not start with yours. Let's start with, like, okay. Dan or something.
Dan or something?
And then I could do it. I could read it, but, you know, not the first one. Let Dan start off.
If I have... Wait, you want me to... How
Tell us about your character. Don't read your sheet. It's about your background and stuff.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, I just want to ask this, because...
Yeah.
Like, my character, it feels like he's... Like, I don't know how much stuff, like, the other people should know, but...
Uh-huh.
Do you think I should just let it all out?
Yeah, I mean...
Let it all out.
They're skilled professionals. I think if anything you say that's secret, they can pretend is secret.
Okay, so my character was born James Gundrum III in Wisconsin in 2034. And...
And his dad was a prominent member of the anti-meta-human hate group,
Humanitas Populi.
What was it? Poly
Populi.
There, they're like kind of a Ku Klux Klan of like when like people started turning into like elves and stuff. Like there was like a human. But the uplifting thing is that black people could be in this group and like hate goblins. It was great. It's just when you think you're gonna like achieve everything, it's like it's a whole new way to hate people. So my dad was like a founding member, kind of a thug, an arsonist, assassin within that group. He taught me how to fight and how to be scrappy, but also I was smart and I could talk. So they thought, let's send him to the academy to be a Lone Star officer. Lone Star is like sort of a police force that services a lot of the city states in the future. And like, maybe he could like eventually be a politician or something, and he could make our horrible racist cause like, law,
put it into legislation. Yeah.
And then I went to school and I fell in love with an elf girl. And then I begged my dad to like reconsider his ways, but he couldn't. And as I was attempting to flee the state with her, she was killed under mysterious circumstances. And I blamed my father for it and signed on with the Lone Star Security Services under the condition that my dad would be among those put away when I infiltrated this horrible hate group. And so I did all that. And then because I needed my identity wiped because I betrayed everybody I knew at that job, then I just became this horrible, the government just used me and sent me to every city and made me change my name every time and taught me how to do that. And I would just narc on and like shadow runners like in every city, and then I found out my dad didn't actually kill my girlfriend. Like I think actually the cops did to make me available for that employment opportunity.
Because you're such a good cop.
Well, because they were like, boy, this guy's gonna be amazing if we just kill his girlfriend.
Give him the right motivation.
He's his family's so racist he'll think this is a fucking. This is not a 7-10 split. I don't know what the opposite of that is. Remember, I'm from Wisconsin.
Okay, so it's all bowling analogies.
Yeah.
I like it.
So then I was betrayed by the people that owned me and like they used me to do shitty stuff. I was like a narc and I believed in it and now I don't believe in it. And so I had to escape with my life because they were going to kill me. And I used the only identity I had that no one knew about, which was a generic identity pulled from like a textbook in the academy. So my name is Jim Nightblade. Yeah. A former cop trapped in the life of the crime he used to fight.
That's a pitch.
Motherfucker, everything I do is a pitch. What if this microphone had to hang out with an anti-phone?
Okay, great. Aaron.
I don't know why I affected an urban dialect.
Yeah, I don't know.
Anti-phone?
I found that email, Spencer. It might have just gone into my spam, but I have... but I have it, and I can read it, but you guys go first.
So Spencer, you came up with all the stuff, right?
No, he came up with his... Aaron came up with her backstory, and then I came up with Demorjian Kumail's backstory, because, yeah.
Nah, not nerds.
This is fascinating. I can't... I've never seen anything from this side where... You're telling the story and people are like, oh. Like the thing where when you said I found out my dad didn't kill my girlfriend. Or no, when you said that my dad killed my girlfriend, there were people here who were like, oh.
Yeah, but you've seen, that's just the power of like an audience's grace when they're like, oh, we trust you and know you. Like you listen.
That was
to,
no, that was honest. That wasn't, there was nothing.
When you listen to Prairie Home Companion, like Garrison Keillor goes like, and then the blueberry pie had a boopa doopa doo, and everyone
Joe
goes like,
went
ah!
Fishing for the first time in 6 months.
It's called Stockholm Syndrome. if I don't like my coffee this morning, Munich's gonna go bad. Okay.
The line
out to
was
your
drawn.
Ubers. If we're not gonna have a shit,
out to your Ubers.
Out to your Ubers. All right. So my character is named Mercy O'Donnell,
And I'll just read the short email that I sent Spencer earlier today.
It's a historical hostage event. Well within my right to use that to illustrate. Sorry. I made a movie about it for kids.
Yeah, Munich was for kids.
All right, this is Mercy O'Donnell. Former publicist for Ares Macro Technology and ex-wife of its CEO, Damian Knight, Mercy O'Donnell is a madam for megacorporations and the underground alike. 2 years ago, Mercy left her husband after he beat their teenage son to death in an argument. When she fled, Ares Macro Technology manipulated evidence at the scene, and the corporate court charged Mercy with the murder. As a madam, Mercy, so she's on the run. As a madam, Mercy works almost exclusively with magic users who may or may not procure payment without, quote unquote, natural sexual services rendered. Regardless, her Johns always leave happy. With a name that is always changing, she is known by her many contacts as the Eyes, because I have the best face ever is the thing that was established before. I'm looking at David.
And you're a hooker. You're a prostitute?
No. No, I'm a madam, but I work mostly with magic users. So I work mostly with people who
what
are
does
able...
madam mean?
What is a madam?
Like a prostitute king?
Oh, yeah, like a prostitute king. King of all the prostitutes, that's true.
Like the first conversation between the worst representatives of an indigenous and an invading population. That's their Tatanka.
In a way.
How do whores work? Like, you need a king of whores? Yes.
Yeah, so I'm working as a madam, but that's my cover. But Camille, a madam is somebody who's like an agent for prostitutes.
It's like a
it's
lady
like CAA
pimp.
For
oh,
prostitutes.
Oh, you're the CAA of prostitutes? Yeah. I thought CAA was the CAA of prostitutes.
You know in the movies when you run into a brothel and then there's like there's all of the yes. sad brokenhearted you know, carnival
there's
of
a
lost
woman
souls.
Who's just turned 35
yeah,
she's like I'm the madam
the MILF who's 8 years younger than me
but I am more a madam as a cover. I don't know how much I should say about my character, but she's fiercely anti-male, and the way that that's
shocker.
Well, why is what? I mean, you're just saying that. That doesn't mean anything.
You can say shocker after almost anything. Try it tonight, kids, as you go home.
It's a button. I just.
I mean, let's go to Arby's. Shocker.
She watched her husband. She watched her husband, whom she loved when they got married, kill her son, and
but
so she has like an imbalanced hatred.
But the son is also male, so why? Why is she a male hater?
Well, I mean, sometimes hatred doesn't make sense.
Right.
She's afraid of men, and now she's wanting to protect women. But God, she has this face.
She's got a great face.
She has a great face.
Right.
But it's not for you.
What do you mean? Why is it not for me?
I don't know. I'm spiraling. It's not for me.
Oh. If I can afford it, it's for me, right? Oh, no, the madam
no,
doesn't.
No, because I am the agent.
Sorry, right.
I am the agent. But
you're
but,
the agent.
But the idea is that that she is making her money by employing magic-using prostitutes who are convincing men that they're getting off when they're not really.
Oh, okay. Got it.
But maybe not exclusively.
Being convinced that you got off is identical to getting off. Like I wouldn't even have a complaint.
Well,
I'd be like, thank
this
you.
Is interesting. It's different in that the girl doesn't have to put a orc dick in her mouth.
Oh, that's great for her. That's like when the hotel says we turn your lights off because the planet needs to be safe. Fine for you. Like I'm saying like as a male customer, if you told me like.
listen, sorry if you're
out. No, exactly.
I wouldn't demand my money back. I'd be like,
no,
I
know.
Thought I got the best blowjob ever.
Well, that's
that's
a thing. Except I think egos would get in the way where guys would be like, oh, I fucked the best girl last night, and someone's like, you didn't actually. Like,
that's
you just
the perfect scene to introduce your character, like in the movie version where like there's a guy that's like that. It's like, because then you can demonstrate how you lay down the law, like, to protect these ladies.
Right.
That's what I like about the archetype of the hooker matron, who's like, in a world where the government doesn't care about humanity, there's like a woman who's like a den mother to these lost souls.
Yeah, it's like I'm like a mother hen, but young.
And a great face.
And like hotter than all of them.
Hotter than all of them. It's like, okay, got it.
So, Demorge, I don't know if you want to talk through, but I also have the write-up that I sent you, so I can read that, or you could do it.
I'll just wing it.
Just to caution the audience.
Yeah, I know the character.
Just because of the bills we have to pay, Demorge's character is basically the Noid from Pizza Hut. It's called branded content. There's no commercials during the podcast.
No. Like, but, I mean, Pizza Hut tastes so good that we're okay. And it's very cheap.
And it's a real thing. I mean, it's a real thing to not want cold pizza.
Yeah,
I can hear you guys.
Go ahead.
My character's name is Hordegard. I'm an elf.
You're a dwarf.
I'm a dwarf. I was just testing you. People don't know the difference these days. My mother was a dwarf. My father was a dwarf. They were both very smart and came to the United States as a science team. I do not have the most beautiful face, but I have reasonable looks. And for some reason, a characteristic of not aging, I was always a precognitive child. I was born a precog. That is to say that I can sense future events.
Oh, you're like Jeff.
There is a gelatin. Yes. Say that again.
Jeff.
Yes. There's a gelatin that floats in the sky that you cannot see or touch. But I can perceive it and perceive from it and draw from it such things as horrible accidents and crimes and misdemeanors, etc. My mother, sensing this would put me to some sort of persecution, built a precog bath in the basement. My father, being scared of this, ran away. She educated me in the ways of precognition, though she herself was not the precog, but she was a good reader and a great teacher. At a certain time, I was urged to leave and try to find employment. Children would laugh at me in school, and I did not do very well because of this. And so I took small jobs. I was very old, and I got a job as a busboy. I worked with the underground restaurants and bars. They did not know if I was a boy or a man. I was at this age a man, but they would say, hey.
How old were you?
At this point, I was some 26 years old. So, of course, this is 2074. Is that correct?
Sure.
Close enough.
Sure.
I worked making the most money under the table in cash with mafia and Yakuza families, both in the nighttime working in the Little Italy section and in the evening working in a little Osaka. They had no problem spilling their information to me, so I learned a lot about the underground and how it works. You'd be very surprised to know that the underground is really the overground. Everything that works in front of you is moved by people you do not see. It is not called Shadowrun for no reason. You must think into opposites and you must be neither. Because I still have precognition, I like to go outside at night when the machines are humming and whirring and the night air is moist. It is there that the thoughts come to me. On one such night, I go out, and the boss of my place in Little Italy is crying. He's smoking a cigarette and crying. I say, what is your problem? He says, You can go home. There will be no restaurant tomorrow. He does not explain. I go back to my studio apartment, which is not so much an apartment because there is no floor. There's only a tub of water in which I've built a precognition tub for myself. From this, I put on Opera Sauvage, a composition by Vangelis.
Tasty choice.
A precognition suit such as Samantha Morton might wear to an event or a gala.
You love that Minority Report.
I lay myself above and, using the power of rear thought, suspend myself without a net over the water. And I saw an incident at which a man with a loaded pistol would come to him and shoot my boss's brains out. I waited for the vision of a woman with a wristwatch to walk by and focused on the wristwatch, got the time of day, knowing that it was night and there is no 2:36. That PM that is at night, I sensed it was 2:36 AM. I went to the cross streets and waited.
And what time was this at?
2:36 AM.
What time did you get the vision?
I got the vision at 2:34, but this was the day before.
Oh, okay. So you had plenty of time to get there.
I had plenty of time to get there, but you know, I had to get a weapon. I have to stuff the man with a weapon. I got the weapon from a Yakuza boss in Osaka. I then waited on the corner. When I recognized the man and I saw the woman with the watch, I raised the gun. I shot him in the head. I then had to go on the run deep into the annals or anals of little Italy, where I met a man who would become my father figure. His name was Geppetto 5.0, who outfitted me with silicon and cyber devices, arms.
I'm sorry. We just heard the cold open. That was just the... He's just now becoming...
Okay, oh, yeah.
Go ahead.
This is like, you know, also, this is the A-team, just this is the opening narration.
Yeah.
At what point do you flee to Brazil?
At what point
As a Nazi doctor, because you sound like a Nazi doctor.
At what point do you launch an award-winning career as a documentary director?
Anyway, sorry.
If I were, I would do something like this and something differently. But anyway,
so
I
have a cyber device attachment. So you're with Geppetto 5.0, sorry.
Excuse me, go ahead.
You're with Geppetto 5.0, continue.
Yes, and he just gives me a number of attachments and things and ways to better myself, including skill softs, which are programs that allow me to master certain tasks and things through a cranial implant. And with this, I can function for myself. But I cannot go back into that world, although I have all of this knowledge of how they operate. And so I run around in the shadows between streets and avenues and boulevards and byways, bartering with what I know to do best, and that is to sneak up and stop problems, sense problems, eliminate situations. Sometimes with weapons, otherwise with cunning and guile. I can occasionally step out into the light because everyone still thinks I'm a boy.
Oh.
Oh.
Wow.
Uh-oh.
Wow. Right.
Everyone still thinks I'm a boy. Oh.
Wow.
I guess, if David wants to tell us about his character, we'll just...
My name is Chrissy Tilmick. I am a 12-year-old... LGBT transgender. I was born with 6 toes on each foot, but I now currently have 3 on each foot. And I, my father killed chickens with his mind. And we would travel from small town to small town. Some people were enamored of that. Some people thought he had great powers. Some people were scared of him and frightened. And as a result, we were constantly moving. We had a 1969 Dodge Dart. And one day, my mother and father were very much in love. He had sworn on their wedding day, they eloped, but it was still a wedding, and it was a day, so it was a wedding day, that he would never use his ability to kill chickens with his mind in any negative way towards her. Then one day, we were chased out of a town, Birmingham, Alabama, and... he was drinking heavily, and he started what looked like the process of trying to kill my mom with his mind. And this upset me terribly. I went running out. My mom chased me, and she was killed by a hurinado, which is a it, as everyone knows, and after the year 2021... Right. Government Obama was still in office and invented hurinados, which is a combination of a hurricane and a tornado, and that was shortly before they revealed chemtrails are a real thing, they're not just a silly thing. And so my mom was killed. It was a horrifying thing for me to witness. As I looked behind my, I had three shoulders, and as I looked behind the middle one, I could see my dad running after, and the entire town of Birmingham, Alabama, he got swallowed into the as they grabbed him and they pulled him, and he was like, "Chrissy, Chrissy," and I could see it. He was scratching at the ground, and blood came from his nails as they went down to stubs as he was trying to claw his way to me, and I just knew it was fight or flight, and I decided I'm gonna flight, and I went to Birmingham International Airport, and I used all my remaining I had some fun bucks left over from a Chuck E. Cheese, and I turned them in. I got on a plane to 2032. Which is the only time I could afford. And there when I got off the plane, I just did that classic Chrissy Tillman thing where I looked down, and the first sign I saw was for Davos, and I went, "I'm your guy." And I got in the car and ended up at a Davos conference. Jenna Bush was speaking, and I managed to sneak into her hotel room in a way that I'd only seen in hollow movies, which is a way that people watch movies in the future.
He got that right.
By being underneath the catering tray table, and then I snuck out, and I assumed Jenna Bush's personality and her identification Tron, and which was she didn't even put away. It was like it was in the closet. The closet was open.
She
I just took
left
Jenna
her,
Bush's.
She yeah. just left her identification Tron.
Yes,
added
left
Tron.
It right there.
He just added yeah. Tron.
Yeah, yeah. This shit is easy. And then and I remembered as I was climbing the antenna spire. I remembered, wait, my mother, her last dying thing is the hurinado was sucking her into the vortex. She threw the pills at me and said, "Should anything happen, take these pills." And I did, and then I went back in time to where we were a happy family, but I was always able to access everything post that. So not only am I currently with my happy family knowing what the future will bring, but I also concurrently run in the shadows because I fucking love that song.
Wow, what a character. I think that's the end of our show. I think we got.
Wait, I have my guy.
What's that? What?
I have a guy too.
Oh God! I'm sorry. Don't forget me saying I think that's the end of our show.
And I'm just gonna read this, and that'll be the end of the show. My guy talks like me. I'm just gonna read what you send. Is that okay?
That's
Is that
fine
what
with
I should
me,
do?
Unless you have any, you know, great ideas that have come up to the surface from these wonderful narrations.
Oh. Is there a hymn-nado?
When we looked at it, what we thought was, you know.
It sounded like a herstory moment, but is there?
I don't know. I'll have to check with the ladies at Vassar and Sarah Lawrence, the feminist studies group, and see what they think.
Spencer, what is a Shadowrunner?
A Shadowrunner is basically like a member of the A-Team. When people need their help and they can afford it, they get the A-Team, you know? And they do illegal stuff. They do cool things.
But they're usually good guys?
No. I mean, they're criminals. They could be murderers, assassins.
Okay. They ride in a van and they have lunch boxes with their faces on them.
Yeah.
Typical mercenary.
I'm just going to read the paragraph. And then, Dr. Friend, that's my guy's name.
Unless you have a better name.
I don't think you can top Dr. Friend.
Dentist Frank.
Dentist Friend is a troll doctor. Dentist. A criminal / doctor whose practice is everywhere the core aren't. Dr. Friend.
Huh? Corpse. Like corpse corporations. Oh. Sorry, everybody.
Sorry. Dr. Friend is a troll doctor. I have to start over every time someone says something. A criminal
slash... Do try periodontist.
Periodontist Friend is a troll periodontist. A criminal / periodontist whose practice is everywhere the corpse aren't. Periodontist Friend has a magical mastery over medicine and the meta-human body. With a less than firm commitment to the Hippocratic Oath.
Nice. That was a little glib. That was a little glib.
With a less than firm commitment.
All right, CW. I see what you mean.
Periodontist Friend is bound to never harm anyone who hasn't harmed him first. Originally a corporate periodontist.
For fun, can you say endodontist?
Endodontist? What is that?
What is that?
It's root canals.
Just root canals?
Yeah, basically it's nerves. Periodontist is gums and endodontist is root canals.
You sound so drunk right now.
It's
basically
it's
nerves.
It's endodontist.
It's nerves. Roots, root canals, nerves.
Root.
Endodontist?
Endodontist.
Okay.
It's not important.
No. I didn't mean to qualify that as it being important. It's not important. Say whatever you want. Sorry. Oh. Say periodontist.
Nope.
I thought we were giving requests like you were a DJ at a birthday party, and so I said endodontist.
Originally a corporate endodontist. One friend, that's me. When friend goblinized into a troll, goblin is not a verb.
Goblinization is a thing that happens in the history of the Shadowrun milieu. People
vampiric
start to turn
virus.
Into
I turned from human into a troll?
Yeah, trolls just get turned into them from humans.
He was cast out of the corporation with extreme prejudice, forced to ply his trade in the streets. Despite this fall from grace, he only accepts payment from the moderately wealthy for his superior service, treating the poor and needy free of charge.
Aww.
Sounds like a good guy.
Aww.
Sounds like a friend, that's right. Is that all? That's all I need to say, right? Oh, I prefer not to fight, but when I must, I tend to favor non-lethal weapons such as a stun baton or gel and shock rounds from my silent submachine gun. That sounds like a very violent weapon. I use no weaponry other than this submachine gun.
I think like at a moment when someone would go like, oh, that's really nice that you take care of poor people for free, you say in an alleyway just to that other person, you go,
the poor become the rich, and the rich are always dying, and there will always be more poor. Did you just come up with that quote?
Yeah.
That's really good.
Are you being sarcastic?
No.
Really?
It's really good.
Like the blind guy Minority Report.
Yeah, I don't know. I like it.
I
think I might be a little drunk. I should be riffing like dialogue for you.
That was really good.
Thank you.
Doesn't the logic collapse under the poor become the rich?
I was thinking that too.
Doesn't that stop right there?
This is a fantasy world, David.
It's a weird world where if you're poor, you're safe, but you have teeth problems. And then only your ambition to become rich eventually kills you.
Yeah. I like that this is the least believable bit of this for you. The poor become the rich. Now I've heard everything.
Shadowrun's a fun game, but in terms of wealth distribution...
Yeah. A lot like our world.
Sure, I believe it. All right. Well, we've conquered all these worlds. Now, how do we end things? Probably with a rap, right? I'll do a rap.
Do a rap. Rap, 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 rap. Rap, 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 rap. Rap, 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 rap. Clappity clap. Time to rap. Every rap has some kind of rap jazz. When you rap your ass, the person you came in as, and I accept you. Chugga-da-do, chugga-da-do, chugga-da-do. I accept
you. Isn't it funny that David thinks that this is your rap every time?
The great thing would be to do a rap and have David Cross, who has a beautiful angelic voice, do the rap bridge, the R&B, like,
do.
Do we have a rap beat? All right. So I'll do a little bit, and then I'll cue you, and then you do like the bridge.
Singing part.
Yeah. We hope you come back to the show.
Yo, 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 yeah, yo. Yeah, city sirens, police in the distance, cityscape, I'm gonna go the distance, I'm Dr. Urban Anthropy, I'm gonna cut you, can't you see, I'm going through the shadows at night, I'm gonna rap for my life, gonna fight for your light, I'm Mr. Mix-a-Plick, I'm gonna shoot you, I'm gonna fucking shoot you in the tooth, you. I'm gonna shoot you in the shoot, you. And then I put your life inside my shoe, though. Rhyming, shoot you with shoot you. I'm gonna rhyme life with life.
Yeah.
Gonna rhyme one word with the exact word again.
Scabba-dabba.
And that's how I wrap my life.
Yeah. All right. David Cross, that's our show. We'll see you next week, I think.